Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, welcome to the Geek Enders.
I got no count in?
You got no
count in.
You
just decided to surprise me?
Damn
what if
right.
I was doing one of these?
That would have been fine. It was no different than how you usually behave on this show.
That's true.
You got curlers in your hat.
I put an assortment of things associated with my child that were that just happened to be around. I've got more.
By all means, waste our time.
I've got a little acorn hat.
I thought that was a little
put
poop
on someone.
I thought that was a tiny poop. Didn't know what it's that was.
It's a little acorn hat. I've got a Hello Kitty tag.
That's all right.
Welcome to the weekend, everybody.
Yep. It's the weekend now. No rules. Just right.
No
like
rules.
The Outback Steakhouse. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to an Outback Steakhouse? And I don't know if they forgot steak or what. But
or house? Which one?
This was years ago. I haven't been since then. This might have been 2012. Okay. I think it was either I just moved to LA or it was the last thing I had to eat before coming to LA. I'm not
before
sure.
LA? Okay. No, keep going. I'm listening. Keep going. I was already working on this before you started this story.
How are you allowed to have a child? What is happening? There should be rules against this.
No, keep going.
So anyway, went to this Outback, went to get a steak, got the steak. I've never seen a steak that looked more like someone took a hamburger, molded it to look like a steak. Because when you cut into it, the inside didn't look like steak. It looked like hamburger patty that had been molded to look like a steak. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my entire life until today when looking at you. Full circle. Yeah.
What a delight.
Yeah.
We got this lovely beauty out of Dave and Buster's. I thought they were all closing. I was
what
delighted.
Dave and Buster's were you at?
We were at one in the desert. Sprinkle.
They have a Dave and Buster's in the desert? Well,
yeah,
of course
they
would.
Palm Springs area.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I guess a lot of them are closing, right? So I was like, oh. There's still a Dave and Buster's out here. That's fun.
That's because most Dave and Buster's are a weird vibe. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you did the whole go look at everything, but half of Dave and Buster's is a bar where people are just drunk off their ass watching sports. And then the other half used to be an arcade, but now is giant versions of mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I don't know that I'm like, where's the racer game? Or where's the, like, it's like, no. You play a mobile game for tickets.
So, yeah, we went with my mom and my cousin and her husband, who are in their late 40s, I think, and then my kid. And the fact that half of it is basically a sports bar,
right,
was actually a big plus to them. They were like, you could just come here and chill because there's nobody here because they're closing. There's like nobody here. You could just come here, have a big old meal, watch the game, and then maybe get some games in. But my cousin was like, well, what kind of games are out there though? Like, are there like old arcade games or is it all new arcade games? And so I said, I'm going to go I'm going to go scope it out for you. So they did have like the sack toss game. They didn't have normal like skee ball, which I thought was weird. There's no skee ball, I guess, because they don't want rambunctious kids taking these hard-ass
wooden balls,
balls
or sure
throwing them at people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Multiple of the basketball hoop game. The like water gun game, the old water gun game was there. They had air hockey. So some of the stuff that you would expect to see there. But yeah, all of the games are definitely geared toward get tickets. There weren't any like normal arcade games like just, you know, like fighting games or anything like that. Mm. We played a Fruit Ninja game. A lot of it is baby's first gambling haul.
Oh, yes. That is the vibe now. 100%
how it feels. Yeah. It was like, do you want to play Wheel of Fortune, little baby? And I was like, okay, sure. Yeah. And then it was, do you want to play an assortment of claw games? Yo, but my kid played a claw game. This guy's going on an adventure.
Yeah, I can't take you very seriously when you got this thing flying around your face. But please regale me with your story. Yeah,
I will. My kid played a claw game, and I generally try to veer her away from them because you never win. There was one of those savant claw game children in front of us who had won like 7 things at this claw game. And she was like, oh my God, I have to try, right? Fortunately, she's not at the age where there's like much of a sunk cost fallacy yet. So she played it like twice and then went, oh, well, fuck this, and walked away from it. And I was like, fantastic. But then saw one where all that you could get was rubber duckies. And she was like, please, can I try the rubber ducky one? I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. This kid pulled 6 rubber duckies out of the rubber ducky claw machine. And I think it's because they're rubber, right? So it's like the rubber claw with the rubber duck, and it doesn't have the same drop factor.
Okay, sure.
It doesn't slip out as easily, right? So she got so many rubber ducks out of this thing. I was like, you know what? Godspeed. Proud of you.
So is that from that machine? Where is that thing? Did you buy that with tickets? Yeah.
We bought this with tickets.
Oh, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes, we got a big stuffed controller thing.
Okay.
This and one of those rubber birds where you put your finger in one side and you pull the tail and then it pew, and hits somebody in the eye.
Did Sam pick that out? That sounds like a Sam pick.
No, Sam isn't here, dude. It's just been me.
What?
It's just been me. With a 6-year-old.
I can't.
For 10 days.
I can't. Like the way you said that at first, I mean, now I get it. But the way you said it at first, I was like, I can't tell if that's Dodger's excited face or Dodger's I'm losing my mind face.
You figured it out, though.
I got it. It clicked. Yeah. You know what the real giveaway was? All this.
This?
Yeah, that whole. That's the giveaway.
Accoutrement?
Right. The accoutrement of insanity.
My kid found this in a sand pit and refused to not take it home.
What is it?
I don't know what it is. It's a rock of some kind. I have no idea. I don't know. So there's that. This is what life is like. She didn't want to throw this away. So we've just got that.
Man. You are, I must stress this to everyone in the world who's always like, Jesse, why don't you want to have kids ever?
I am your birth control. Right?
I live vicariously through Dodger. I'm like, I would lose my mind. I would go crazy. Every story is like, I'm sure at the time, it's like, it's so cute. My little cherub I brought into this world doing silly, fun things. And all I hear is like, my kid's digging through sand. That kid's dirty as hell. I got to deal with that now. Like, I'd be like, mm-mm, don't you dig in that sand, child. Don't do that. Mm-mm. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Everything, you never know when someone's going to turn into a lesson. Because she was digging around in the sand pit. And then my mom offhandedly was like, because of the area you're in, you probably want to check and make sure there's no cigarette butts in there. And my kid goes, I don't know what a cigarette butt looks like. And I was like, oh, well, let's go looking for cigarette butts. And so,
you know what? This is good parenting. I like this. I like this.
I was like, you might as well know what they look like. Don't pick them up. I'll pick them up for you and I'll throw them away and then wipe my hands because we always have disinfecting wipes on us. And so it turned into a whole like 5 minutes of us walking through this huge sand pit looking for cigarette butts.
What do you mean sand pit? Well, I thought this was like on a playground. This is a different vibe.
It was on a playground. Yeah.
Oh.
I but know. It was like, the pants how big? Are spicy out here.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a desert, so there's probably a lot of sand everywhere.
That's so fair. It is in the desert. So, you know, the hilarity of having a sand pit when they already get sand storms, I guess, is kind of funny.
Really? It just kind of all blew there. That used to be a beautiful park. And then there's like,
it was empty, sand pit. But yeah. they just kind of leaned into it because they had. Yeah.
Right. They had no choice.
Part of it is like play sand, but there's also a like a volleyball net on it. So it's decently sized. So yeah, we walked around the whole thing and picked up like 10 cigarette butts and then I threw them away and I was like, now you know what they look like. Don't touch those. And she was like, okay. and that's what we did with 5 minutes of our life.
I'm curious what the payoff will be on that. This is why I need that sort of SimCity-esque City Skylines times 3 speed. Because I want to see the 10-year from now version of Clark. Having learned this lesson about cigarette butts, what does that translate into? It could be like Clark's out there being, I've got to clean up the planet. Or, you know what? Ever since I was young, I've been obsessed with cigarettes. They're my favorite thing in the world. I remember picking up cigarette butts with my mom out on the street. Right? That's what I imagine.
If only she could see me now. Yeah.
She really set me down my path. Right? That could be a thing. Yeah. Or it could be like, sorry, I associate cigarettes with trash. And smoking is for trash people. Like, that could be that too.
You never know.
I have no idea. That's why I need that times three.
When we were coming back from a trip, you know, in the duty-free area, they always have, there's like a section that's like, are you a smoker? Do you like to roll your own cigarettes? You can get a big old bag of tobacco over here. We were walking by one of those and they had all of the horrific things that can happen to you pictures.
Sure.
Just out on display. And honestly, my kid now is like, what the fuck? It is effective. Oh my God. Anytime she finds out somebody smokes now, she's like, don't you know what that could do to you? I was like, sometimes trauma works, I guess. She can't stop thinking about those pictures. I was like, oh my God. Like, really? Yeah.
You know, I'm here for that. Yeah.
So, it's that.
I've definitely had to have a few conversations with people over the years who smoke a lot. Mm-hmm. And every conversation usually starts, this is how I know they're thinking, like, maybe I've gone too far with the amount of I smoke. They're like, be honest with me. For real, be honest with me. Do I smell? It's like, oh, brother.
Oh, honey.
You definitely smell. Like, everyone knows you smoke. Everyone.
Yeah.
And every time you're like, okay, so what does that mean for you? And they're like, I don't want to smell. Maybe I should just stop smoking. And you're like, oh, bless you. You will try.
Yeah, whatever you need to make the attempt. Here's the thing. Because I have a lot of addiction in my family. And I think you normally, on average, backslide about 7 times. But if you keep at it, if you really commit, eventually you will be able to quit. And I believe in you. If you're trying to quit a thing right now, it's hard. It's so difficult.
What if I'm on like backslide 5? Like, I want to quit, but I got 2 more backslides in me. Like, what is, can I?
I think if you're like puss in bootsing it, if you're like, I got 2 more backslides, I'm good. I don't think that's the right energy.
Puss in bootsing it is my new favorite. If you're puss in bootsing it,
you're not really, you know, taking this seriously. You're puss in bootsing a little too hard. Yeah. Sorry, puss in bootsing it.
Puss in, yeah, that's, it, you sound fine.
In the, fantastic. I'm
in
so
the pre-show,
glad.
Dodger was popping. So when she said her peas, so now.
Yeah. I had puss. To do some poop.
Puss in boots. Yeah. Oh,
I'm glad I'm no longer popping.
No, you sound just fine. Yes.
Fantastic.
Along with poos in boots.
Puss in boots. Always sounds great.
Yeah.
Shout out to Anthony.
So what have you, what you been doing this week besides raising a child?
Besides raising,
yeah, I see you. I see you streaming, so I know you're. I know you're working.
I did do a couple things. I played a game that it's always a blessing when you get asked to play a game, and then time is just gone,
sure.
And you're like, "Oh my god, I'm really enjoying this." There's a demo that I played at the last Next Fest, I think, called "Into the Dead: Our Darkest Days." I think I talked about it on a previous Geekenders. But it is a This War of Mine style, like side-scrolling survival game where you are trying to live through a zombie apocalypse, basically. And I really liked the demo. The game is in early access now. And again, full disclosure, I was sponsored to play this game once it went into early access. But oh my God, it is so fun. If you like the idea of playing a survival game, but most of really overwhelming. I think this is a really good game. So at the start of it, it gives you a bunch of sets of two survivors. So they'll have their own like unique dynamic. Every character has their own traits that can help or hinder the survival process. And they specifically did not want any of the characters to be ex-military, you know, fighter, like any of that. These are just kind of normal people. So this time I went with, I think their names were Daphne and Penny. Daphne and Penny's dynamic was Daphne is a therapist, and she has been working with a troubled youth named Penny who has violent outbursts. So Daphne is really good at cooking. She's very nurturing, but she's a pacifist. She's not going to do very well in combat. She doesn't commit if she needs to kill something, right? But Penny is great for the violence, but she's also, she has a trait called haunted, I believe, which means that when she's attacked by things, sometimes it triggers like a past trauma in her and she'll have nightmares for a while and she can't rest easily. So those are who I started with in this time. And it was great. Kept nearly getting Penny killed. I felt so bad. Please just let this girl get to adulthood. She's worked so hard. When I had played the demo, I kept wondering if you could eventually stumble onto other people to add to your group.
Mm-hmm.
I never ran into that in the demo, but playing the early access game, I gained two other survivors in totally different ways. One of them I found while I was like scavenging through a house that was overrun by zombies. One of them I found because I clicked on a radio and there was a distress signal on the radio. So that's cool. There's like multiple ways that you can find people.
Mm-hmm.
And your first task is like the place that you start in, it's not going to cut it. We got to move somewhere else. So you have to like go out and clear out a place that would serve as a better base, essentially. And you want to like keep moving, keep adding to your base and try to, you know, have a more flourishing survival situation. But the way that the actual mechanics work is like, there's a day-night cycle. And so each day and each night you're asked, what do you want your survivors to do? And then it resolves, which is why I was saying that I think that this is a much easier sort of survival game to get into because like you start at your base, beginning of a day, right? It's beginning of a new day. You've got your base. I've got my four survivors. I can say, all right, our barricade needs work. I'm going to put Joe on the barricade. He's going to fix that up. And then Penny's going to go out and look for some supplies. Daphne, I'm going to have her cook up some food because we found a lot of raw stuff, but we don't want to eat that. So we're going to have her like make some meals for everybody. And Suzanne is really tired and I'm just going to let her nap. And then you say, everybody's got a job. Resolve it. Everybody does their job. If somebody's going out to find supplies, you play through that. You do that whole, like, you can do it stealthy or you can kill everything or whatever you want to do. Yeah. You know, get as much stuff as you can, live through it, go back to base. And then it goes, great, it's nighttime now. Here's everything that you got, or here's everything that happened during that day. It's very fun. I like it a lot, clearly. I have lots to say about it. But yeah, I think it's really accessible.
Okay.
Because survival games, I think there are a lot of them, and most of them are you're a man and you're climbing through a little house and you're trying not to die, and oh no, you're hungry and you're also tired, and when's the last time you had some water? It's just stressful. This game isn't nearly as stressful unless you are doing like the stakeout or like, you know, trying to find supplies and stuff like that. You have to really pay attention when you're doing that. But yeah, it's cool. And I don't even know what the other survivors are like because I've just got the two that I did the demo with and the two that I did the early access game with.
So you don't know like end game scenarios though.
So while you're going to different places, occasionally when you're, you know, trying to find stuff, you'll see a little question mark and you can investigate a place where there's a question mark. Typically, the question marks lead to what's called an escape option. And so you're slowly accumulating information that could lead to everyone getting out.
Ah, okay.
So I found two different places that had like a weird symbol that was like a maze sort of symbol. And so that started an investigation into like, okay, is this a group that's trying to like get people out, or like, is this a cult? Like, we don't know. I don't know what this is, but it might be a potential escape thing.
Interesting.
And then there was a radio that I found in a house that had a lady doing a repeat message, I think. And like, oh, there's other people out there. It sounds like the group. Maybe we could meet up with them. Maybe they're trying to escape. Right. So there's different angles toward potential escapes that you can find. And it gets added to a list.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks cool. It definitely has that kind of like this War of Mine vibe though. Like just by looking at it. Yeah.
The number of people that came into chat being like, oh, it's this War of Mine.
But zombies. It's a, you know, iteration on a thing that exists. It's a good way to make a game.
Absolutely.
That looks very cool. I assume it's roguelite-y. Like-y, I guess would be better. And that you're doing, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this. You pick your characters, you do a thing, you lose, you restart, you pick new characters, you do a thing. It's all random. You don't have...
Sorry, which part is random?
Well, I mean, the start, location, drops, people, all that stuff, right?
I think all of that is the same. I think where locations are and the sort of stuff you can find at them, potential shelters, all of that stuff, I think is the same each time. Different places that you go to, before you go there, you'll have to find there.
What was that? And, sorry, you cut out for a minute.
Oh, sorry. Maybe because the AC turned on. It just turned off, though. Different places that you can go to, it'll say, like, what's happening?
It feels like you're self-censoring. You keep saying different places you go to, and then... Every time.
I don't know.
What is happening?
I don't know. I'm just talking like normal. All right,
try that sentence again. I want to see what happens.
Different places you can go to will have a list of what you can expect to find there. Okay. Things like food or supplies. Okay? One of the other things that it'll say is you can potentially find new locations. So places that have binoculars to find or a telescope or anything like that, you can look through it while you're there and you'll like glean information about other places you can go to that weren't on your map before. But from what I can tell from playing the demo and then playing the game since it's been in early access, I think it's the same places each time. It's just what order you want to do them in, which places you want to pursue as shelter. And yeah, you're not intending... Not that you're ever intending on dying, but like I think the intention is to choose two people and then keep them alive, right? It's not super easy. to kill them from like, I put Penny into some bad situations, but she hasn't died yet. She got a mortal wound. We took care of it. She's fine now. She had some nightmares. Her PTSD flared up. It was really bad, but she hung out with her friends and she's feeling better. You know, it's, they give you lots of ways to make sure everybody stays alive.
I must stress, it's really funny that you're like, yeah, so my two people are this woman who has no real fighting skill, but she can cook and she's a therapist. And then this young girl suffering from traumatic nightmares that I send to go kill zombies.
No, it's fucked up. I know. I'm aware. I'm aware how fucked up that is. But to be fair, her traits are that if you give her a blade, she kills things instantly. And she's a quieter sneak than everybody else in the group. So she's the one that needs to be going out because things don't catch her as easily. But yeah, I do feel bad for Penny. I don't want her in this situation. I don't want her around zombies at all. The intention is that we all do our part. I'm so sorry, Penny, that we all do our part. Get out of here.
What is your therapist doing to help with the team? Exactly.
She cooks. She cooks.
Oh, cool.
She cooks, and I don't think she has any kind of a trait that makes it so that she helps people if you put her in the communal area with them, but I still do because I'm like, you're the therapist.
Can she help hanging out with people? Can she help Penny?
Every time Penny needs to chill, I put her with Penny and then she feels better. So in RP, I'm going to pretend that that's because she's okay. Doing her job.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, the primary Daphne jobs are making medical supplies, cooking food, and working on the barrier. Because she can't fight stuff, dude. She ain't no sneak. And she can't fight. So she stays at home. If you've ever played one of those like base survival games with your friends, the one person who's like, you know what, guys, I actually don't have dinosaurs. I just want to stay home and build us a new kitchen. That's Daphne.
That's me. I'm usually that guy who's like, You guys go do your thing. I'll just cook. And then they come back from one hunt and I'm like, I'm a level 13 cook man. And they're like, how'd you do that? And I was like, we got a surplus of meat, if that's your thing. I love doing that. That's why I'm fine just being the guy who's like, cook meat. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep everybody fed and not dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Yeah.
Yep. Usually, that's because if you go out, that's how you get yourself killed. You stay at home and you cook. Ain't nobody going to kill the cook. The cook, that's a good guy right there.
Yeah. I've played enough of these games with Sam that I know that if we were in this game and we had traits, I should not be the guy going out. Because Sam goes out for 10 minutes, comes back and is like, I have elite level gear. And I've brought home an entire, you know, max level monster for us to carve and cook. And I'll be like, great. That's clearly your job, not mine. I should not be going out there.
Yeah. Are there like sheep to feed or, you know, like some type of Pokemon thing to raise? I'll do that.
Yeah. Bring me the supplies to make some shears. I'll build us a coop. Yeah, I can do those things. So I can make y'all some eggs to take on your big journey.
I don't want to do all that. I just want to like look like I'm busy so that people think I'm important around camp. When really I'm just biding my time until I can become the leader.
You turn it into a casino. You're the equivalent of like the dad who's staring at hot dogs, being like, I'm really busy right now. I have a job right now. I need to make sure these don't burn.
Yeah. Someone's got to man that grill. That's me.
Yeah.
Beer in
Someone's
hand.
Someone's got to stare at that meat.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you how you like it, and everyone's going to get the exact same thing no matter what. That's what I'm going to do. I'm like, hey, how you want your burger? Oh, medium. Okay. Yeah. No, I'll do it my own way.
Since my dad's been like kind of out of commission, he hasn't been able to do much. I've been grill master while we've been at my parents' house.
Okay.
And it's been a little nice to have my mom be like, you want a little glass of vino? I'm like, absolutely, I do. Stand outside with my little glass of vino, stare at whatever is on the grill and be like, it's looking good. I could get used to this. This could be my life. I could be this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Being a grill master, it's a fine tradition. Dating back to our ancestors around the fire. You know, there was one caveman. They were like, Ugg, you make sure meat grill cook good? And Ugg was like, Ugg, fine. Vino, please. Ugg, no need other cooks in kitchen.
Mm.
Yeah. They're like, you sure, Ugg? Ugg, fine. How you Ugg want
fine.
Brontosaurus burger. Medium? Okay. Yeah.
And then Ugg leans into the camera and goes, it will be well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have concept for bread, so just hold meat in hand.
Hold meat is hot.
Is no wheat yet. We is not that level of society. Civilization not got that far. No buns.
I was just going to make a civilization joke. I'm glad you did, though.
Yeah, I figured. That's good. Was that all you did? All you got to play?
I played some Dinkum. That was also, just what? As a heads up. Oh, hold on. Before I get into it, as a heads up, everything that I've done while on this trip has been sponsored. And I told my chat ahead of time, I have some sponsorship opportunities while I'm away. How annoyed will you guys be if my only streams while I'm gone are Geekenders and sponsored things? And they were like, get that bag, gamer. So
all of your sellouts. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So the other thing that I played was Dinkum, which is a game that I've played a bunch with my cousin, Tiri, but this time it was sponsored and they wanted me to play it with Sam, who had never played it before. And Dinkum is just like a super cute farming game.
Okay.
It's pretty much all of it is based on like Australian wildlife and biomes. You are on this weird little island with a grandma, and the grandma's like, let's build us a town. And yeah, it's a farming game. You know, you build your tools, you learn new stuff, you make bridges. And I think the one way that it's a bit different is that a lot of farming games just come with the like extra stores sort of built in. But because the concept of this is we're just on an island with nothing on it.
Sure.
Instead, it's a bit more gradual in that one of the first things that you build is like kind of a bait, like a tent base. And once that's built, people will come to visit the island with their wares. And if you've met them enough times and interacted with them enough, eventually they'll be like, you know what? I could stay here. And so then you build their store. And then they'll stay there. So my island is all messed up because the only two stores that I have, the only two people that I've made any sort of commitment to, the general store guy and museum boy. There's always a museum boy. Museum boy showed up and was like, wish I could get me some butterflies. And I was like, I love you. And I built him a little museum. And the lady who comes by with things I need, like seeds, is like, what am I, chopped liver? Like, come on. There's a fishing guy. There's seed girl. There's all sorts of people who show up. And I really should be hanging out with them because every single NPC every day will have a quest for you if you ask them about it. You can be like, is there anything I can do for you today? Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, I just really wish I could get a blue finned fish. And you go, hold on, buddy. I'm going to go get you a bluefin fish. The day that Sam and I were doing our sponsored thing on my island, it was a fishing competition to find as many barracudas as you could. Okay. And I felt so hard done by because Sam had never played this game and won the barracuda competition. I hate that guy. So, you know, we spent most of our time fishing, if I'm being honest.
I hate that guy.
I hate that guy.
That guy just keeps showing up in my life. I hate him so
God.
Much. What an ass.
I know, dude. But yeah, it's a very cute, super, super chill farming game. Most things don't attack you outright. Mm. You learn really quickly which things are going to be mean to you and which things aren't. But yeah, it's really cute. So I played some Dinkum. And then
what a name. So I played some Dinkum. It sounds like a game you play with like kids that involves like hitting something with a mallet. Like, oh yeah, we're playing Dinkum. Bonk.
I'm wondering now if it's like a word that has any sort of meaning to Australians.
Probably.
Australian viewers, please respond. Does Dinkum mean anything? Is it a goofball word or
fair Dinkum? We'll what out. Does Dinkum mean? It means authentic in Australian? I don't even know if I buy that. It means good. It means okay. Fair enough.
Authentic, good, okay.
So basically the game it's is positive. Like, it's an all right game. It's fine.
It's good. Yeah. It's the game shrugs at you and goes, it's nice.
It's fine. Yeah. We're not trying to be anything. We, you know, it's fine.
And then the last one was another one that I had played the demo of, which is Koira.
I don't know how to spell that.
K-O-I-R-A.
K-O-I-R-A.
Mm-hmm. It's a very sweet little puzzle game. I did run into an issue that I think they can fix pretty easily. But
oh, this is the one with the like the little doggo. And you're
yes.
Yes, very cute. Very
yeah.
Cute.
So you're a little person and you're running around and you find a dog. And honestly, the whole beginning of the game is just like if you make this dog happy, he glows. And he banishes away the darkness. You're in this world that has like all of these pockets of darkness, and it's scary for you. Yeah, the darkness, and then you save a little dog who got stuck in a trap, mm-hmm. and you give him apples and you give him pets, and then he glows and he can banish away the darkness. It's very cute. And a lot of the mini games are like, I forgot that I had all this shit on my head. All the mini.
Uh-huh. You forgot? I did.
All of the mini games are like, you know, just cute things to do with the dog. It's all like really sweet, but it's one of those games where you can tell the fact that there's like clawing darkness around at all, you know that it's going to get sinister, right? Sure. Which I don't feel like it's too much of a spoiler to say. It does. It does get sinister.
What? In my game?
I know.
Crazy.
It's very, very cute, though. The issue that I ran into, which I feel like I need to be very honest about, is so it doesn't save before a load. Mm. So what wound up happening a couple of times in a row is I'd load into an area, I'd do a whole section, and then it would try to load me into the next section. And it would, but the screen would be black. So I could hear all the sounds and I could walk around, but the screen was black and I'd have to reload. But because there's no save before it loads, I would have to redo the whole last section. Yeah. So it was streamed. So what are you going to do? We're just going to call it. I'm going to let them know that this is happening because I feel like this is fixable.
Sure.
The actual game itself ran into no issues when actually playing the game, when doing the puzzles, any of that. It's lovely. And you can tell what kind of a story they're trying to tell. I think it's a lovely game, but that is a really, really frustrating problem. So hopefully that gets fixed because I can't really recommend that anybody take the time to play it right now, which is unfortunate. So hopefully that won't be an issue in the future. And then I can wholeheartedly be like, play this adorable. It's very sweet. Because, you know, these sweet, like, pocket moments that they make with you and your dog, they don't feel as sweet anymore when you have to do them three times. You're like, all right, I love this mini game where we're looking at clouds together. But do I want to do it again? Not really. It was a moment. It was a nice moment between me and my dog. You know? So
I very much understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cute, though. From what I've seen, it looks very cute.
It's super cute. They just need to fix that. They got to fix it. It's a big issue. But what have you been playing? What have you been up to?
I've gone down the mystery rabbit hole this week, and it's been great. Oh, it's been so good. I've been eating well this week.
Yeah?
So first off, I got into a game that I thought, honestly, I thought it was going to be short and sweet, It was recommended to me as a itch game that you had to play on itch.io, and it was a mystery in the vein of Her Story or any of those other games like that where you're putting together a mystery. The premise of this game, Type Help, is you find an old computer.
Type Help is the name of the game.
Yeah. You find an old computer, and this old computer is the last storage space, I guess you could say, for a case that is unsolved. All the information about the case is on this computer, and your job is to go through the computer, find the files, get the information, and solve the case for yourself, right?
Love and, games like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so already I'm in. It really gets you with kind of like a, I don't want to say convoluted system, but it's certainly designed not to be helpful initially. So basically, you, the type help, like old systems, you type help and it gives you a list of things you can do. And it's everything from here are notes on what this is going to be, the case, to here's the timestamps of everything that happened in the story. And it isn't like 1700 hours or 435. Timestamps in this are 01, 02, 03. So there's an order of things, but there is no time, right? So as you play through, you need to discover locations, timestamps, and people involved. And so when you first start, you really don't know nothing. You have four files they give you right out the bat. And they're like, okay, based on these four files, you need to find everything else. Now, the thing is, it's all text. Even though these are based off audio files, you're getting the readout of those files.
I see. Okay.
And so there's like a weird, I'm going to say magic element to this, because straight up they're like, the technology we're using to do this is basically the last minute of a person's like, we have the last minute of whatever time for, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I initially thought that it was, there was just recorders in the room, but no, this is like,
I was assuming these were like court documents or something, but like, if it's like, we know exactly what happened with the last moment of a person's life and here's the readout. That's a bit crazy. Yeah. Okay.
But just accept that that's what's going on. And so you essentially have all the audio visual cues and everything, plus the notes of the original detective. So in between scenes, you get a note. So for example, if one character says, I called the police, right? The guy will note, no, they didn't. That didn't happen. So you're like, oh, okay. So they're lying. Why is that? So now you're going through and you're trying to solve it. Yes, it's very Obra Dinn as well. So you're trying to solve this mystery, and it's very interesting, because what will happen is you will meet various people, but when you first find them, they're listed numbers one through whatever, right? And you don't know who they are. But if one of them says like, hey, Victoria, you're like, ah, okay, so six is Victoria. So you go and you do name six, Victoria. And then from that point on, every time six shows up, it'll say Victoria. And so you're doing that. So you're unlocking who's who in the story.
I love that.
Plus, you're discovering rooms. And so now you're like, okay, I need to figure out where these people went during that time. So you might have a list of 01 timestamp things, but now it's 01 and AT for attic, and then 2 for Annie, the girl who's in the attic at the time. So when you want to get that scene, you type in, you know, 01-AT-2, and that will bring up that scene. And then you will have to do this for other different things too. So it's like, okay, I know that a bunch of people just went to the dining room in the previous scene. So in the next timestamp, that means that 1, 2, 5, 7, and 8 are in the dining room. So I need to do 03-DI-1, 2, 3, like that thing. And then it brings it up.
I got you.
The way that that actually is useful, because it sounds very convoluted, but the way it's useful is, if there's a guy, let's say this character Oswald, who's in the kitchen, and he wants to eat later than everyone else. If I type in 05 for timestamp 5 and KI for kitchen and 03 for Oswald, and it doesn't show up, but I know he's in there. I now know someone else was in that room with him. So now I need to figure out Sudoku-y style. Well, I have all these numbers everywhere else, so that must mean that 5 was in there with him. Okay, you type that in, you're like, oh! So they were having a conversation about this whole other thing. And of course, because it is a mystery, the premise is thus. These are the recordings of 11, potentially 12 people. All of them are dead. Every single one dies, and one of them died a way different from the others.
Oh.
And so it's like, okay, interesting. And what makes it even more interesting is that some of the characters don't know some of the other characters in the home, yet clearly they were all invited there for a reason. But how would you not know? This isn't a huge spoiler, just right out jump. You, I say you because it's the first character you meet, so for some reason I just always associate that with you. But this guy, John Hobbs, who is the number one character, he is invited to a mansion in the woods. I believe it's England, I think. Everyone uses mum, so I'm going to assume that's the case. He's invited to meet someone named Rupert Galley. Yet when you get there, no one knows who Rupert Galley is, yet three of them have the last name Galley.
Weird, okay.
And that's like the starting premise of where you go from. And I will say, it gets weird. As you would expect, much like Oberdin, much like all of these things, it gets strange. There's definitely something going on in it where you're like, huh? So, big fan. I don't want to spoil it. I will say that there are certainly hidden things and a bonus ending that you can go for that I didn't know. And chat was like, no, you got to do this. I was like, oh, it doesn't change anything. Right. But it's kind of like, oh, okay. All right.
How long would you say it took you?
I think I did it over, I would say, I don't know, 7 hours.
Okay. So it's a decent size. It takes some brain power.
Most of it was the end. It really steamrolled. It like really snowballed towards the end. And I loved that. But there was a part in the middle where I was trying to find any clue because there was something that I just couldn't. I was like, something doesn't make sense. I'm missing something. And someone was like, hey, go check out the last line of that last page. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I was like, ah, so it's that kind of thing where there's definitely hints everywhere and you just got to be paying attention. But when the story started to reveal itself, I immediately was like, is this what we're doing? And it totally was. So
nice.
Big fan of that game. Good stuff. Definitely think you'd like it. But yeah, it's all text. No music, no nothing. So I literally went on YouTube and found like dramatic mystery solving music and just played that in the background and let it play the entire time. It's great. That definitely helped.
You're right. Also, I hadn't really thought about this. In order for this game that are like fully text and research based, in order for them to feel like they have good pacing, the beginning of it has to be kind of like, what am I looking for? What am I even doing here? And then at a certain point, it has to speed up. You have to be like, oh my God, so then this is this, and this is this, and oh my God, so that means they were here, and because otherwise you're like just struggling through the whole thing doesn't feel good.
Yes.
You want to feel like you're putting pieces together.
And what makes it easier, this is a weird thing to say, because you're doing timestamps through the night and people are dying and you know everyone's dead at the end of the night, the end is so much easier because like we started with 12 and now you're down to 3. And you're like, yeah, this is easy to find these people. Because they'll be like, we got to go over here. And you're like, okay, next timestamp. We know there's only 3 of them. So we're just going to follow them through the story. And it's so much easier. I was like, oh, thank God. But yeah, at the beginning, there are so many people. And they keep mentioning other people. And you're like, so does that person count? What's that about? And so, it's about trying to figure out like, okay, we have all these buildings, all these rooms, and how the rooms connect in the building. Thankfully, they explain stuff. They're like, oh, this goes here, this goes here. But there was one point I was like, I'm trying to map this building in my head, and I literally don't know what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Because people will go from the attic to the dining room, and I'm like, okay, I assume they just walked there. But in my mind, I'm like, what is the timestamp? Like, is it a minute? Is it 10 minutes? How long did it take him to get there? So I'm trying to figure stuff out, and I'm like, okay. It was that kind of thing where I was definitely overthinking things, but whatever. Loved it. Big fan.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yes, it is totally free. Definitely give it a look. But also, the next one, the game everyone was playing yesterday. I started playing it too because it got a
blueprint.
Big recommendation from the GOAT, Daniel Mullins. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. Let's go crazy. It is a fascinating game.
Yeah, how do you feel about it? Because I don't. Last week I was trying to like pitch it to you. So
yes, I am excited for the potential. Worried I will suck. I don't know how to describe this to you. And so,
okay,
plot wise, I believe it's your great uncle. It doesn't matter.
You're his nephew, right? Yeah.
Family member leaves you a home under the stipulation that you can get to room 46. And if you do so, the house is yours. If you don't, you lose that house, kid. So you are allowed every day to enter the home, but at night you must leave the home.
Mm-hmm.
I assume night at the museum reasons, because the next day the house has reset. Basically, when you enter the home, you have a foyer and then you have three doors. And every time you open a door, you pick one of three plans that you then make the next room. And each room you create can have puzzles, can have items, can have keys. Basically, there's money, gems, keys, and then various items you can use. Keys are used to unlock doors that are locked or boxes that are locked. Gems let you create certain rooms. And then money is used to buy things, or if you make a chapel, it takes one coin from you every time you enter. Then you can find, you know, a shovel to dig with, or a key card to open things with, or you can find a sleep mask that whenever you enter a bedroom, you gain more steps. Because basically, the element of the game that is kind of like rogue-y is whenever you enter a room, you lose a step, and you start the day with 50 steps. And then when you run out of steps, your day is over. Or you can end the day early. And whenever you end the day, the whole damn thing resets and you start over. And so any items you found, any money you got, any whatever, gone. Unless you can find a certain room that lets you store a thing. But even then, if you want it back, I think you have to find that room again?
Yeah.
So that's all random. And there's a random nature to it where you're building. And you're trying to get up to the antechamber that can get you to 46, and you will just block yourself off. You'll like randomness will give you things that turn you this way and lead you to a dead end. Or randomness will make you have a room with a bunch of doors, but then they're all locked. So you can't, you don't have a key, you can't open it.
Keys.
Tough. Yep. So there's like a very clear mystery of something going on here. There's really cool mechanics where you can power certain things that, you know, there's a security room where you can turn off all the key card requirements if you turn off the power. So maybe it's like, oh, okay, well, no key cards needed if I can shut the power off for certain things. But that requires you to have, I assume, the circuit breaker room plus the computer room with the security stuff plus the generator room. And if you do all that, then maybe you can, like, there's those things.
Yeah.
And so my biggest concern, I love this game, I'm enjoying it tremendously. My biggest concern is I will just perpetually be stuck in the randomness generation.
Yeah, I get that. Because you want to have the effort and the time that you're putting into learn about these different rooms and what's required of them. You want that to pay off when you're doing your next run,
right?
But because you don't know what blueprints are going to be given to you, you're like, do I even get to use this information, right? Like, how much? I remember feeling that way playing the demo. Like, how much control do I really have, right? Like, how much benefit is there to me learning what I need to do XYZ thing when the game might not even give me the room required?
Sure. Yeah. There's definitely some strategy to it. So, for example, there's one room, for example, it's like, it will always be unlocked. It's like, okay, I probably should save that for later because that's when rooms start being locked, is later as you get closer towards the end. I'm like, okay, so that's probably, I should wait on that. Then there's also the outside. You can leave the building and there, your tent's out there where you sleep at night. But also there's like an elevator thing and a secret passage and a gated off like a combination code area. So I was like, okay, maybe those are quick points to get to things or things that will allow you to start the day with different things. Because a great example is I played one round where I had a shovel and I could dig up all sorts of stuff. Now, mind you, 80% of what I dug up was pebbles that did nothing, but I potentially have access to things. The second time I did that, went through, found all these things to dig, no shovel.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, this isn't the shovel run. One time I went through and I built the pool, and the pool allowed me to build all these other rooms associated with the pool, like a boiler room and a pump room. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. I don't know what this does for me, getting me closer to my objective, but like I've unlocked this now. That's fun. But there's all these different rooms, and I think I'm just too early. I think I did I played for 2 hours. I did like 4 or 5 rounds, and I learned stuff. But yeah, my biggest concern moving forward is, will there be a, hey, you've done a lot. This is for you. So you don't feel like you're constantly banging your head against the wall trying to get to the end. Like I need one of those. I will lose my mind if it is pure RNG the entire way through.
I mean, with all the stuff outside, surely some of the stuff outside,
I have to
is
believe
like,
that's the case. Yeah.
You can walk in with this item or, you know, stuff like that.
We'll see. I mean, there's definitely some hidden things. There's some very cool, like in one area, I found the story of the Red Prince. And I read the Red Prince and it was like, you are the Red Prince? And I was like, what? It's like, whoever's holding this book is the Red Prince. I was like, okay, interesting. What does this mean? But I genuinely, don't know what's going to happen here. Because that, for me, is going to determine whether this game is good or great. Because it's a good game. Hands down, it's a good game.
Yeah.
But I don't like when it's everything's pure. If I don't have some sort of you are building towards something mechanic,
yes,
I will always be like, never going to play this again.
I completely understand what you're saying. Yeah, I agree. I was going to play that while, because my kiddo and I are leaving today and we're going to be in a hotel for a couple of days. And so I was like, oh, maybe, you know, after my kid's asleep, I could play some blueprints, but a lot of people have said they want to watch me play it on stream. So I'm like, okay, I won't watch other people play it. I won't play it myself. Let's hold on to it. But I understand those concerns just from playing the demo.
Sure. Fingers crossed. It's going to be good. I'm going to keep playing it, but I'm also just like, man, I can see where my frustration would build. Thankfully there's enough rooms and enough. Like once it clicks, okay, this is what I need to do for this, or this is going to get me this, or I better make some rooms that are going to give me keys. It's easy to understand. I'm not sure what the big like payoff to doing it all is, unless it's just, I understand better. Now I know how to make a better flow of the map.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll find out. It's too early for me. But other than that, very fun game. I love everything about it. It's got a mystery to it that isn't scary, or it's like one of those anyone can play this game kind of games, but operates in the same level as all the weird games that I love. Like speaking of weird games that I love, Empty Coffee Cup, the game.
The Empty Coffee Cup game.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep talking.
No, that's it. Really, that's all I did I can think of at the moment.
Dude. I thought when you were like, I've been going hard on mystery games, I figured you were going to say Blueprints, but I was also holding out hope that you were going to say, I started Curse of the Golden Idol.
It's on my desktop. It's there. But I keep getting distracted.
You always say that.
It's,
and yet.
It is, though. It's there. It's right there. I just haven't played it yet. I keep getting distracted by like all the things that are happening. No. Oh, you know what? That's a lie. I played. Oh, God. Dodger?
Yes.
Have you ever played a game that, like, isn't very good, but you still appreciate that it was made?
Yes.
So, I played a game that I genuinely love.
Okay.
I believe it was called Ladies, Are You Ready? I think that's what that's called.
Okay.
Ladies, I'm Ready. Ladies, I'm Ready was the name of it. So this is an FMV dating game that I think it was created by students. So that's why I'm like, bless. Please make more of these. Even though this was the most insane game I played in a while, please make more of them. Like, there is talent there. So please, please, please continue. The basic premise is you are a young man who is at a college campus for the first time. You move into your dorm, and your mom and dad, I assume this is a cultural thing, dad is like, I'm high playing video games, get live your life, son. And mom is like, son, you must join a like college group. You must find someone to talk to. You must like get into a group. You must do these things. If you don't, you will let me down, son. And dad's like, whatever makes you happy, bro. So those are your two figures talking to you.
Okay.
The mom absolutely sounds like, if you've seen, not in voice, but in inflection, if you've seen Fifth Element, Corbin Dallas's mom, when she calls and is like, Corbin, you're not going to take me on the Flowers of Paradise group? Like, that vibe. Yeah, and so you go off to join a club because you have to. You're told by, my voice is like, shot today. You're told, this is what happens when you read 7 hours of type help. Look at that.
Yeah.
Help. Type help. Type help for me. So you end up going to join a club because you're told if you don't join a club, you will be forced to become a teacher's aide. And everyone thinks that's terrible. Everyone's like, that power, terrible.
Right.
Terrible. You don't want that. So
who would want to be a teacher's aide?
Who would want to be a teacher's aide? So you end up going to sign up for stuff, but it turns out most of the clubs are filled. So the clubs that you have access to are two clubs. And Dukes, it's pure insanity.
I'm ready.
The first girl you meet, she's hanging a flyer for the International Student Association. And she is like the sassy one. She gives you a hard time. She's like, she's got a vibe to her that's just like, I will get you in trouble. Hey, let's skip school together. Like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But she's also the head of HR for the student association. I was like, I'm sorry, your international student club has an HR department? First off, not only do they have that, they have other departments in this club. So I don't know what kind of level this club is, but she's the HR.
Must be a big club, dude.
Right, right. But she also is running for the president of the club. And as you try to get to know her and like you flirt with her and stuff, she will just straight up ditch you. There's one point where you're like, oh, hey, I have to go to class. And she's like, you don't want to hang out with me the rest of the day? And you're like, I got to go to class. And she's like, fine. You're like, whoa, what? Dang. What do you mean? And then she'll just ignore you and you think you've like blown it and you're like, what? Then there is a girl who is the head of the tennis club. But every time you meet her, she's like, hey, I'm going to tennis practice. There is nobody at that tennis. Like, there's nobody at the court. It's just her. Every time. Every time. And she's like,
wait, she's the only one in the tennis club?
She says there are others and that she's responsible for them. I don't see a damn one of them. At all. They don't exist. Yet you'll show up and there'll be tennis balls everywhere. She's like, practice just ended. And you're like, did it?
Did it though?
And every time, I swear to God, at one point she's like, oh yeah, I'm in tennis club. We're like, are you? The girl who's like, oh,
like,
yes.
She had to think about it.
Dude, there is one part where one of the girls is talking to you about like, oh yeah, no, we meet every night to do International Student Association. I'm like, are you at all? Is this a cult? Or is everyone in a cult? What is this? There's Dodger. There is no cult. There's no, like, it is just the way they've chosen to portray these characters. That. And the entire time, the crazy thing is the tennis girl, she's like, you're really cute. I'm like, are you going to kill me in your cult? What is happening? The one girl is constantly, she's hot, she's cold, she's yelling at you. Then you go meet her. She's like, hey, come to the International Student Association. I'm like, okay. So I go there. It's in an art room, and she's made a painting, and she's like, you know what this painting symbolizes? And you're like, I don't know. And she's like, it's all the colors of the world coming together in unity. And you're like, what?
Okay. Meanwhile, where's the club, homie?
There's, when you're there and she tells you about the painting, there's no one else in the room. And so you get up to leave. And as you walk out, two other people enter the room and stare you down like, as you walk by them. And I was like, who the hell are those people? Other club members?
Other cultists? Club members.
I have no clue. And painters? So the entire time, you're trying to like navigate which of these two you want to spend more time with. Your dad's like, hey, man, live your life. And your mom's like, pick the club that will get you the best job in the future. And you're like, I don't even know what that is, mom. She's like, well, you want to be with a student association that gets you the most foot in the door things for future job prospects. You're like, okay. So you go back, mom, and you start trying to woo these women, and they are, for the most part, completely normal until they have to do long stretches of dialogue. And suddenly they're just like, you're the only person I can trust. Everyone out here.
Sorry. I'm not even joking. Off guard. Keep going. I'm so sorry.
It's what happens. They're like, the only person I can trust. There's something I have to tell you. It's very important. You're like, okay, what is it? And they're like, I need you to run for president of the student association. And you're like, why? And they're like, because with your help, I can take this place down from the inside. You're like, what? What do you mean? There's no like, there's the absolutely. Yes. There's one part where you go with the tennis girl out and she's like, hey, I brought us some sushi to eat. And you're like, okay. Box is like this big. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so you sit down and she's like, so would you be the vice president of the tennis club? And you're like, is no one else on the tennis club? Seriously. Is there no one else on this tennis club? It's one of the craziest games.
You have to tell me.
I've never played. I went back and I made sure I dated both these girls. Because you can actually lose them based on your choices you make. But like,
right.
I've never played a game as crazy. Unintentionally so. It is clearly not like designed to be crazy. But it is, without a doubt, I laughed the entire way through. I laughed so hard, my face hurt the rest of the day. Like this whole area, it just hurt. I was smiling and laughing the entire time. And honestly, even though that's this great. Game is insane,
worth it then.
That's a good game. I was like, that was so, what I just played was nonsense, but it was nonsense that was for clearly designed by students was awesome. I was like, yo,
yeah.
Don't just cause I'm laughing at how ridiculous this is. And some of this stuff makes absolutely no sense to me. You did a thing, you made a thing. And I love that. So
yeah.
I enjoyed every minute of it. Yeah, it was. It's honestly, you have to check it out. It's like $5. You have to look at it. I must stress to you, you will laugh so hard. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Some of the acting choices, it's like they aren't bad at acting. They're just making Nick Cage level choices. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, they're not, I know exactly what you mean.
Like,
we're like, that was certainly a line read.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the crazy things about it is Krendor and I did watch a Nick Cage movie this week. And I must stress to you, I'm going to just title this The Worst Movie Ever.
Okay.
Krendor and I watched a Nick Cage movie called In Between? The In Between? Something like that. So, okay. Not a great title. I can't remember what it was called, but here's the premise. And it's insane. Like, genuinely, one of the most insane things I've ever seen. Nick Cage basically is playing, oh, it's called Between Worlds. That's what it is. Between Worlds.
Okay.
I already forgot it because it's bad. You know, there's Nick Cage movies that are bad, but they're fun. And there's Nick Cage movies that are fun. And there's Nick Cage movies that are good. But this falls squarely in that it's just a bad movie. Here's the premise. And it definitely.
Yes.
If while you listen to this.
Hey, I'm ready.
If while listening to this, you think, Jesse, this sounds like pornography. Dodger, it pretty much is. Okay.
Okay.
Nick Cage is a trucker who goes to a truck stop. And while he's there, he hears a scuffle in the bathroom. And a woman who is like a pretty famous actress who's been in a bunch of stuff, but she's like a German actress. I don't know why they picked her to be the, like, I hang out at truck stops and I'm from the South vibe, but like, whatever. And so she's being strangled in the bathroom. And Nick Cage shows up and beats up the guy strangling her. And she's like, why'd you do that? I wanted that. And it's like, what? So,
okay.
Right away, though, he asks, why did you do that? What's that about? And she's like, when I was a child, my, my sister, died in a freak underwater ice accident. And the girl, this woman, when she was a girl, she learned that at that time she could leave her body and enter the ghost realm. And so her daughter apparently got in a motorcycle accident and was going to die. And so she went to the ghost. She wanted the guy in the bathroom to choke her out so she could go to the ghost realm and convince her daughter to go back to her body. That's the first 5 minutes of this movie, Dodger. That's the first 5 minutes.
Okay.
So Nick, they go to the hospital.
How does Nick Cage respond to this information?
Oh, he's like, whoa. Is that real? That's crazy. He seems very open to it. And the reason why he's open to it is because his wife and child died. And so he's like, could you talk to them? Like, wouldn't that be amazing? You could talk to them. So they go to the hospital, and in the hospital, the daughter, who is another kind of famous, like CW actor, actress, she is still in the coma, and they meet with a nurse. And this nurse, who I think at one point had a character, but most certainly doesn't. She is like, imagine they were like, all right, let's pick a Jamaican actress and give her the ability to know what's going on. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no. Yep.
She's like, you must go into the place and talk to the spirit realm. And it's like, really? This is what we're doing? There's no indication of why she knows these things, how she met the mother. They have a friendship that is never established, but seen like 3 or 4 times in the movie, where it's like, what am I gonna do? I have to get to the spirit realm. And she's like, that's right, you must use the powers. And you're like, how do they know she has powers? Why does a nurse have this information? What's that? Literally just pure quackery, like witch doctor vibes. And you're like, what? Right. Why? Anyway, while she's there, the daughter awakens and she's like, mom, oh, you know, I'm back. And she's like, oh, thank God. But then she passes out again. And during this time, for reasons that are poorly explained in ways that I cannot even fathom.
Sure.
Nick Cage's dead wife, who I guess was around at that time, inhabits the body of the daughter. Okay. Anyway, fast forward to Nick Cage taking the mother home. They immediately have sex in a crazy sex scene. They immediately have sex, and she's like, you know, you can stay around if you want. He's like, I gotta make my deliveries. And so Nick Cage leaves, goes to make his deliveries. His truck gets taken because he was 3 days late and he can't afford to pay. He's like, I had to help this woman. Her daughter was in a coma. And so he calls her up and he's like, hey, they took everything from me. I got to move back in. Like, can I move in with you? And she's like, I would love to have you. You're such a good man. So they move back in. And for a little bit, they're fooling around till the daughter comes home. And the daughter, again, has the wife in her instead of. So the daughter shows up and immediately is like wearing the sexiest shit she can to lure Nick Cage. And meanwhile, the mom starts having dreams about, like, the daughter seducing Nick Cage and sleeping with Nick Cage. She's freaked out. She's like, something's wrong with my daughter. Something's wrong. Why would she ever do that? The assumption is that the daughter, how old's the daughter? Great question. I don't know. Still lives at home.
I wanted to ask that, but I was scared to.
Just, you know, old enough to be driving, smoking weed, like driving a motorcycle fast, smoking weed, and being involved with the guy who looks like he's like 30. Right? So that's as old as she is. I don't know.
Okay.
Her boyfriend and this guy who I think his name is like Scuzz or something, they deal drugs. Like that's who these characters are. But when she shows up again, she doesn't know him and she doesn't want to be around him because she's like the wife, not the daughter.
Because she's Nick Cage's wife.
Right. And she apparently, as Nick Cage's wife, doesn't want him to ever leave her alone for reasons we're not really sure. She's just like, don't leave me alone. Please don't leave me alone anymore. Nick's like, I'm not. He doesn't know that it's his wife yet, right?
Right.
And so there is a moment where she has not announced to him that she is his dead wife in the body of this girl. So she's still hitting on him, though. And the mom is just like, something's off here. And Nick Cage, I think, is trying to play it off, but it's still Nick Cage. So he's like, there's one part where they get high, the mom and him get high, and she starts asking about like his life and his kids and stuff. And Nick Cage does a like 5-minute laugh scene where I've never seen an actor commit so heavily to a laugh where he's like, like that guy. And he's like him high. And I think it's about him like losing his mind. I don't know. It's crazy. But what ends up happening is the daughter keeps trying to seduce Nick Cage to the point where eventually, this is absolutely true, there is a video on TV. And the video on TV is of like a lioness hunting a buffalo, I think. And it's like, the female of the species is the most aggressive, hunting her prey. Meanwhile, the camera pans to the daughter who's sitting next to Nick Cage. She's definitely giving him F me eyes the entire time.
Right.
The mom is in the kitchen making dinner. And again, she has not said at any point, I am your wife. There isn't that.
I'm your wife. Right.
There isn't that thing yet. Really what she's doing, the daughter wife, is she's reading the daughter's diary to learn about her so she can like play the character. Right?
Why?
Because
this is so weird.
Well, because she's spoiler, the wife was actually super crazy. Like super crazy.
Oh, okay.
And so she is trying to, I guess, like seduce Nick Cage in this moment. I swear to God, again, no indication. She puts a blanket over him, gives this man a hand job while watching this thing. While the mom's in the kitchen. And I was like, time out. She has given no indication. Nick Cage is like, oh, yeah. I was like, this is porn. This is just porn.
No!
This is someone's fetish. This is someone's just fetish. Right? So then what ends up happening is after that moment, she finally reveals to him, I am your wife. And Nick's like, no. Stop saying that. She's like, remember when we got married and we did this thing? And he's like, what do you mean? So by the way, he was down to bang before he even knew this about the, she's like, you know, I love you. I always have. And the entire time I'm thinking, all right, if it really is your wife, what's going to happen? Because we know this is going to happen is the mom is going to discover that Nick Cage is definitely banging this girl. And I was like, just run away. If this is like what we're doing, if this is real world, just run away together. This is so weird that the two of them are like, no, we'll stay under this roof and just keep going at it. I was like, this is crazy. Why are you still pretending to be the daughter if we now know? Anyway, it keeps getting worse because there is a scene. This is one of the, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. I don't know what they were thinking. Nick Cage and the daughter wife end up having sex. And during the sex scene, right, the mother is talking. I believe she's talking with, Nick Cage told her, hey, you know, I had a box that was in my truck when it was repossessed. It's the last stuff I have about my wife and daughter. and I would love to have that back, but I don't have the money. So the mom literally goes to the impound lot to buy for $500 that box back so that she can then give it to him. While she's doing that, he's banging the daughter in her bedroom. Here's the thing. Apparently, when they were in a previous life, because they keep flashing between them, when it was the wife and the daughter, keeps flashing between them. The wife, I believe, is Lydia Hurst, which is a whole crazy thing. I was like, what? So anyway, they keep flashing between them. And what ends up happening is she's like, the only way I can get off is if you read me from this book of poetry that you always used to read. So he pulls out the book. It's there for some reason. And he reads it, and it's like dirty ass poetry as he's reading to her as they're having sex. But here's the thing that is incredible. The book on the cover, it says, I think it's called like My Memories or something, by Nick Cage. The book literally is written by Nick Cage.
If you had given me 20 guesses, wouldn't have gotten there. What the shit? Wait, is it a real book?
I tried to look it up. I couldn't find a way to buy it. So I think they just put it in there for the sake of a goof.
It has to be a goof. If it's not a real book, it has to be.
I genuinely didn't, like, I've seen every Nick Cage movie. I've seen a Nick Cage movie where that man had a gunfight while having sex with a waitress. Like, I've seen everything. This surprised me. Like, I couldn't believe this existed. One of the craziest things I've ever seen. While I'm watching it, Crendor has completely lagged out of the call. His internet crashed. So I have to, on my phone, describe to him what he's missing. I'm like, all right, so Crendor, he's having sex with his daughter wife right now, but he's also reading a book written by him out of character. Like, how do you describe this to people? So,
oh my God.
It keeps escalating to the point where you discover that the wife was definitely crazy, and actually, because Nick Cage was always on the road and she couldn't stand being alone, she killed herself and the daughter.
Right. I was wondering if it was going to.
Yeah.
Get to the point where, like, she had murdered the daughter
or
something.
But what's weird about it is the setup to the end where all this is revealed. She's like, hey, let's run away together. We can be together. We can start over. We can have a new baby girl, which I was like, oh, replacement child. That's fun. And she's like, we can have a new baby together. We can live our lives. And I was like, all right. I still don't understand what the, like, aside from this being the plot of fetish porn, what is...
Right.
What is the forward moment? Like, what is the plan of the wife daughter? What is the plan? And I she's like, we need money. First off, she's like, I need to kill the mom. She's going to know. And I'm like, just leave. What do you mean you have to kill the mom? Whatever.
So maybe because she has ghost powers that didn't get mentioned again ever.
Well, the thing is, that's the mom's like, this is how I'm going to save my daughter. Because she goes to see the witch doctor lady again, and she's like, oh, after a certain period of time, the main spirit will return to the body. You just need to force the one that's in there out. She's like, okay, I'll do it. Whatever. So the Nick Cage and his daughter wife go off to get money. And I thought they were going to steal it from the mom because they clocked the mom over the head. And he's like, why'd you do that? And she's like, I love you, baby. We're going to get out of here. What they actually do is they go to her boyfriend's house. The drug dealer, Nick Cage accidentally shoots Scuggs or whatever the hell his name is. And then the boyfriend, they beat him up and then take his money and then go to the house that burnt down when the mom killed herself and the daughter. Like his wife, the wife killed herself and the daughter. They go to the house and I was like, wait a minute. So they aren't running away. They went back to the house where Nick Cage and her originally were married. For what purpose? And then, of course, the boyfriend and the mom show up together and they're like, we gotta stop this from happening. And when they get there, it's revealed that the whole reason she wanted to bring Nick Cage there is because she wanted to kill Nick Cage.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. And then
she needed to finish the job.
Yeah. And then the mom, like, they all start pulling guns on each other for some reason.
Yeah.
The wife is like, I killed our daughter. And Nick Cage is like, no. And he goes into the daughter's bedroom that's still for some reason standing, even though everything else is burnt down. And he sees like the ghost of his daughter. And he's like, oh. And he finds a jack-in-the-box. And he opens it. And he's like, oh. Right? I don't know what's going on with him. Meanwhile, in the other room, the boyfriend and the daughter and the mom are having like a mental battle where at some point the mom sees Lydia Hurst in the home and it's like, you get out of my daughter. The mom is shot, falls over dead. That's the last time we see her. There's no resolution for the mom storyline at all. Okay. Mom shot, but the ghost is removed from the girl and she comes back and the boyfriend and the girl run away from the crime scene. Nick Cage, meanwhile, because it's a Nick Cage movie and he can't just end, he's like, oh, my life. The man pours gasoline on himself, sets himself on fire. He doesn't scream. He doesn't do anything. He literally smokes a cigarette the entire time and then puts it out on himself and dies. But wait, there's more. The movie ends.
No, there can't be more.
Yes, the movie ends. There's credits and there's a post-credits scene in which it is Nick Cage, his character as a young man, because we learn in the movie that his dad was abusive. It's him as a young man watching his dad beat up his mom and then he pulls out a shotgun. He's like, you leave her alone. And then it ends.
Why?
I have no idea why they included that scene. I don't know what the point was. It doesn't make any sense. I have no clue what's going on. So Crendor and I, we were like, what the hell is this movie? Who made this? What is going on here? So we looked it up because I was like convinced this was some dude's. I tried to make a porn and couldn't. Here's the thing though. It was this lady who wrote it, directed it, and produced it. And I was like, interesting. And then all the producers, we started looking them up to see what else they did. We didn't find what else they did, Dodger. I 100% feel like my life is threatened right now. And now, you know, I'm including everyone in chat and all of you as well for protection.
Okay.
Crendor's like, I found these articles. It seems like money laundering. And the two of the producers were caught in a scheme. I think calling an Israeli ambassador demanding $3 million. Like,
what?
We were like, no way. No. We started looking it up and we're like, oh, oh, this is something. All right.
Oh no.
Yep.
That still doesn't explain why the movie was made, but an interesting rabbit hole.
I will say the movie is available on YouTube for free and it Great. Is nothing censored. That's for sure. Again.
Okay.
Weird, weird film. I've never seen anything like it. And I've seen every Nick Cage movie. There's definitely some dark money involved. I was like, what the hell is this film?
It sounds like lunacy.
I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. I have no answers for why it was made, who made it, what. It was terrible. Like, legitimately terrible. And the worst part was, is for 30 minutes there, I had to sit with no one around. I literally had to be like, Crendor, please help me.
Got forcibly removed from the situation and you had to just deal with it alone.
Yeah. Again, it's called Between Worlds. Please go. Like, I have concerns about how this movie was made, but now you're all involved. So they can't come take me out,
part
right?
Of it now.
They can't. If I'm killed, then we all know that that's what happened. Just so we're all aware, I got taken out.
Right.
I was like, what the hell is this film?
Oh my goodness.
Complete insanity. I've never Ridiculous. Laughed so hard and been so confused. Every scene one-upped the other scene. I just, again, his wife was in the daughter of the woman he was sleeping with. That is fetish porn. I don't care what anyone says.
That's certainly something.
That's something, all right. And I was like, this is a movie that was released in theaters, which I guess it was. So.
Amazing. And now it's free. God bless.
You probably have to, if you don't have anything that can, hey, don't block commercials on YouTube. All right. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Is that it? Are we wrapping up?
I think that's the note we're wrapping up. Yeah. I loved the play-by-play of that movie, though.
I had to describe it to you because just saying it's a weird movie does not do it justice for how truly weird it is.
Right. I thought there was going to be a lot more Ghost World stuff. Kind of disappointed, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. In the world of the news, real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. What's happening in the world of the news?
Well, the Minecraft movie came out. And for everyone...
It did. We saw it.
I do have a question for you about this. For everyone who said online when the first trailer came out, this is trash, I hate this, this is the worst. It does seem like the youngins are having their own Avengers experience in the movie theater. People, the video online, people are going crazy. And honestly, like, have fun, you crazy kids. Go nuts. What the hell do I care?
So I think I was able to just kind of go in and enjoy my. Everybody was like, it's garbage. It's going to be a trash movie, a terrible, awful. And we went in, bro, I laughed more than once. I had good chuckles out of that movie. My kid had a good time. We were like, that was cute.
Mm. Yeah.
That was a goofy, silly movie. I had a great time. There's a recurring joke about how everybody in the Minecraft world keeps calling things orbs. But they're clearly not because it's all cubes. You know, it's just fun. It's fun, stupid jokes. I loved it.
Yeah, I see a lot of people getting upset about the videos of, like, obviously don't damage a theater. But, you know, kids freaking out even for the memes about, like, chicken jockey or whatever. That's cute. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fan of the ones where they're like, we're going to set off fireworks in the theater. Like, don't do that shit. Like, that's stupid. A little more respectful. But, you know, I'm fine with people enjoying themselves. What is that?
Yeah. It's slime. Keep
you,
talking.
You definitely do have a kid.
Like, I do.
Not often do you just go, it's slime.
Yeah, I just found it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
I'll then
keep talking.
We have hey, potentially a new Banjo-Kazooie on the way. Toys for Bob would love to work on one.
Oh ho.
We'll see what happens. But we haven't had a Banjo-Kazooie in as long as I've known Crendor, I believe, and that's one of his favorite games. So it would be amazing if we actually got something. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's coming down the pipeline. A lot of people still upset over the. We talked about this last week, but a lot of people are still upset over the money of Nintendo games and how expensive they're going to be. And basically, as far as we got feedback wise, it was, "Hey, where else are you going to play Mario?" Checkmate, atheists, I guess. Like that's
yeah,
they
I guess
really
so.
Were. They really were just like, "What are you going to do? Play Mario on another console?" No, you're not. So. You know, not sure how I feel about all that, but they definitely were like, what are you going to do? You're going to buy it. Which, here's the thing. They're definitely, people are going to buy it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's just what's going to happen.
Yep.
But we will see. We will see what happens. You know, everyone's like, oh, I hate this. I hate this. Here's what I think is going to happen. You know how we were mm-hmm. talking about the like $5 whatever learn how to play game?
Yeah.
All this stuff, it comes out now, right? Hey, this is Jesse Cox telling you to be smart. You don't need to buy this right now. Wait till Christmas. They'll release bundles with all these damn games in them.
True.
There's going to be a bundle with like Mario Kart. There's going to be a bundle, like a Hyrule Warriors bundle. There's going to be a bundle that's going to have the test game in it. 100% Nintendo does this all the time. They are absolutely around Christmas just going to get a bundle. There's not going to be any game you're going to miss unless you really need to play Mario Kart. Just wait. Just wait until Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll reduce the price of the console, but it will definitely get you a free game if you wait. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, fair.
That's just, there might be 1,000% tariff. I mean, there might be, but you know, where we are, kids. So,
yeah.
You know, also, We are getting a mega super ultra complete Last of Us Collector's Edition. Bless. But we'll see what happens with that. It looks neat, but it also looks like I don't know that the game is actually in it. Because you get a steel... Oh, no, never mind. It comes with the discs. Steel case with physical discs. Yeah. I was about to say, like, maybe? Anyway.
Dude, it wouldn't be unheard of. Collector's editions that don't actually include the game happened before. And
all
I will
the
never
time
understand
now.
The point. What is the point?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you bought the physical version, you could put it in the new cooler steel case thing. But most people don't even have the physical version. So you just get, yeah. I can't tell you the amount of boxes that I will be sent that have the case inside. I don't own a physical game.
No game.
Never will own a physical game. And I'm like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of it? I don't know. Also, speaking of Last of Us, third season of the TV show. I'm curious. My assumption was the second season would have been the second game.
Right.
So I don't know what the third season is going to be. Maybe we're off the rails. Who knows what's about to happen? So
I don't know.
Could be interesting. Don't know. And then also we saw Reggie came in out of nowhere and was like, hey, what if the welcome tour was like a thing that you just got, Nintendo? And Nintendo was like, no, Reggie, you don't work here anymore. Only Bowser.
Reggie, stop this. Reggie, stop this.
We don't have to be this way, Reggie. We can be friends. So, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is major right now, but I don't think so. Yeah, I think that's really it when it comes to the news, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah. That's it for us.
Well done, buddy.
Yeah, and we also, this time, we get to do a an outro. You don't just vanish this time. This will be great. Yeah.
I don't get to sneak up on you while you're doing a Gollum impression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's precious. What you up to this week? Where are you going? You finally coming home?
I'll be in L.A. for the weekend. And I'll be playing some Blueprints, hopefully, when I get back. Very excited. It's been being in the sun has been nice. Don't get me wrong. In the desert, it's been over 100 degrees every day that we've been here. So it's been a little nasty.
That's nasty.
Apparently, in LA, it's like mid-70s, 80-ish. Mm. You can deal with that way better. But yeah, just traveling with my kiddo for a couple and that'll be
cool. Very cool.
Yup.
Man, life over here, just a treat. I'm trying to get as much stuff done as I humanly can before I dip off for like a week to go overseas to play a thing that I shall not say.
Indeed.
Yes, but very excited to do that. And then then I'll be back just in time. For May, and then everyone's birthday. So many May babies. So that's a whole thing. And then I'm already starting to get emails for Summer Game Fest. Very excited. Getting emails that are like, yo, you want to come check out this game? I'm like, I do.
Yes.
I do want to check out that game. So that's
hot dog.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun. So that's beginning of June as well. So yeah, we're starting to get there. We're starting to roll into new game season. So color me
excited.
Yep. But that is it for me. Thanks so much, Dukes. Have a great few days and safe trip home.
Thank you.
And hey, everyone out there. Be your best, live your life, do your thing, and we'll see you all next time.
Next Friday. Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt.